This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
How does one go about paying a $787 million settlement? From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. Media giant Fox, as you have likely heard, has agreed to settle with Dominion Voting Systems over defamation allegations against Fox News. Dominion said that Fox News hosts and guests amplified demonstrably false claims that its voting technology was rigged. Fox will pay more than $787 million, one of the largest, if not the largest, settlements in history for a defamation lawsuit, which raises a question. How exactly will Fox pay all that money? For more on this, I'm joined by Carl Tobias, a law professor at the University of Richmond. Good morning.
Good morning.
So according to Fox's last financial filing, it actually has about $4 billion in cash on hand. Does that mean that this settlement, despite being so massive, is going to be easy for them to pay off?
Well, a number of outlets are reporting that they have the money. It won't be that easy, and they may have less flexibility with their money going forward, but they can afford it. And I think their reputational hit was so substantial that they were willing to do that. In fact, in the statements that they made afterward, they said it's time to move on from this, that a trial would be too divisive. And so they made a choice.
When it comes to a payout of this size, this is actually something I wonder anytime there's a large settlement for any company. In this case, does Fox, do they just write a check for $787.5 million, or do they sort of pay in installments? How is this done exactly?
I don't know that we have all those specifics, but my guess is here, Dominion would prefer to have it up front and not have it span a long period of time. For example, one big problem with the opioid situation is some of the settlements have had a 25-year time frame. And so access to those resources is needed immediately in that context. And so that's a matter for negotiation.
Fox still faces at least three other lawsuits related to the 2020 election. There's Smartmatic, another voting machine company, filing a defamation suit, and some of Fox's own shareholders who say Fox executives violated their fiduciary duties by getting Fox into this mess. How does the Dominion settlement affect what kind of tack Fox might take with these other lawsuits?
I think that Smartmatic has been working very closely with Dominion. I think sharing the evidence that came from discovery and cooperating, and they will be able to capitalize on that in assembling their case. And so we may see a very similar trajectory where the parties come up to trial and yet they finally settle it when they reach a figure. The Smartmatic has demanded more, I think $2.7 billion, than Dominion did. And so we'll just have to see how that works out.
What about Dominion Voting Systems itself? It's a kind of small company compared to Fox. And this is a huge amount of money. What does all this money from the settlement mean for Dominion?
Well, I think it enhances their operation, their business model. And hopefully the settlement restores public faith in that company, because this whole case and most defamation cases are about reputation. And nothing could be worse for a voting machine company where you promise to render free and fair elections than to be said that you are engaging in voter fraud. And that essentially is what some of the people on Fox News were saying.
Carl Tobias is a law professor at the University of Richmond. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate minority leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? Don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
The Beige Book is not a New York Times bestseller, not with that name, but it is important financial literature. Basically, it's a collection of stories and reports from Federal Reserve branches across the country that's meant to give a kind of anecdotal picture of the economy. It comes out 8 times a year, and the most recent one is out. Diane Swonk is chief economist at the audit, tax, and advisory firm KPMG and joins us to talk about it. Hi, Diane.
Good morning.
So if the Beige Book is like an impressionist painting of the economy, what is the view on everything, you know, from inflation to growth? What's it look like?
Well, the economy is slowing, but not falling off a cliff. That's the good news. And we're also seeing some cooling of inflation. What was most interesting about the Beige Book is it's our first look at how much, or if any, there was a reaction to the financial market turmoil that we saw in March and some of the fragilities that were revealed, not only in the U.S., but in the financial market system more globally, and how much credit tightening might be in the pipeline.
And when we talk about tightening, that means that banks in these districts in particular got really cautious about lending out money, right?
Exactly. What we saw was the massive move of deposits out of particularly smaller banks into larger banks, but mutual funds, money market mutual funds, to get higher rates of return.
So do the results of all these anecdotes from across the country, do they clarify in any way where the economy is headed, where interest rates are headed?
You know, sadly, I wish they did a little bit more, but I think what they do give us a sense of is why there's growing divisions within the Fed. And we're looking at least one more quarter point rate hike, taking the high end on short-term interest rates to 5.25% in early May.
Diane Swonk is chief economist at the audit, tax, and advisory firm KPMG. Thanks a lot, Diane.
Thank you.
In New York, I'm Sabri Benishour with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.